All right, hello and welcome everyone to the GGG podcast, episode 30. Oh my goodness gracious. As always, I am Paul and I am joined over here by Phil. Phil, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday? Are you excited for episode 30?
I am excited. I am happy to report that I'm recording from my new podcast studio today. And by that, I mean space in my new apartment that you've helped me move into.
What?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll dox myself later for the fans if you guys want to come get me. So this week I have played so little video games.
I bet.
it's been, what I've mostly been playing is Dragon Ball FighterZ because I have like 10 minutes to just sit down at the couch and be like, all right, kill. Time to go to sleep.
That's a good 10-minute game right there. That's a fantastic 10-minute game.
It's perfect. What have you been playing this past week?
I'm still, you know, I'm a bit of a broken record, but still on my space kick. I did get swept up into the Fallout resurgence that we talked about on last week's episode. Mm-hmm. So I've played some Fallout 4. I remembered that I bought like the Game of the Year edition on like a Steam sale years and years ago for real cheap. And so I was like, I'll re-download this and try it out. And so I played some Fallout 4, which was good. I mean, it was nice to play it now where I have a computer that is going to run it appropriately. Not that it's a particularly good looking game, because it came out a while ago, but it kind of reminded me of how Starfield should run right now. I probably put maybe about 6 or 7 hours into a new game in Fallout, so that was interesting. But very similar to what I talked about last week, is I started playing it and it just made me want to play Skyrim. And so I was like, I want to re-download Skyrim and just try Skyrim. And I really figured out like the reason that I'm so in love with Skyrim. And maybe this is a reason for other people as well. It's just like I'm in love with the leveling system in Skyrim. That's what I love about it the most. Obviously, like the fantasy aesthetic really speaks to me. But the leveling system, I love a leveling system that it's like, you want to get better at archery, do archery.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get better at sword fighting, fight with a sword. You want to get better at magic, fight with magic. And I really, really like that. And the leveling system in Fallout and the leveling system in Starfield, which I also ended up playing as well. And not just turning it off immediately. I actually put some time into it. But like, there's a disconnect with the leveling there where it's just like, here's some XP, pick from this giant list of things. And I feel like every time I pick a skill in the Fallout skill tree or the in the Starfield skill tree, I'm just like kind of throwing my money away, like my, you know, experience in game money. Because like, I feel like, that only gave me 10% more damage with pistols. And now I don't have a pistol that I like. So I guess I shouldn't have picked that, you know. So, that's what I've been doing. I've been going on a little Bethesda binge.
That's a nice place to be. I did like download Fallout New Vegas. It was like 8 gigs. Let me test out my new internet speeds. I picked it up and it only plays in, I think, like 720. So it was just rough to look at. I was like, okay, this is I'm gonna have to come back to this.
Yeah.
But I am excited for the next gen update for Fallout 4. That's what I've been waiting for, to dive back into Fallout 4.
Yeah. I believe it's coming out at the end of this week, April 26th, which is a Friday, I wanna say.
I think it's Friday. I mean, we could just slide in talking about our releases because we have a couple of things that are also happening on Friday, April 26th.
I do want to complain about one last thing in the spirit of being true to myself and complaining about something. is that I wanted to play Skyrim so much, but the game kept crashing. And like, I couldn't get it to run. It would get to the Bethesda. It's almost like one of those, like you're being brainwashed and like hating something. And so I would see the Bethesda logo like load, like fade in from black, and then it would crash. And that happened probably like 12 times. And by the time I actually got the game running again, I was like, I don't want to play this anymore.
It's Pavlov's dog. Pete Hines gamer.
Yes. All right. But yeah, let's get into this week's releases real quick. Before we do that, if you haven't already, please like and subscribe to the GGG podcast or our Golden Glazed Gaming channel over on YouTube. And if you're listening to the audio version, you can find us over on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us a like and subscribe over there as well. It really helps us out. All right, so first up for this week's releases, a little bit of an indie game that's been getting a lot of traction. Manor Lords is going to be coming out later this week. It's going to be coming out on Steam, as well as going to be a day one for Xbox Game Pass. Your favorite, Phil. Your favorite.
Such a good deal. You can't really beat this deal in gaming. And you get a lot of cool games day one because Microsoft is desperate.
I don't know about desperate as much as they're just throwing anything at the wall, but
horny for relevance. Does that
ask? Oh, that is an interesting way of putting that. Okay, so Manor Lords, surprisingly, it has gotten wishlist on Steam. It's got over 500,000 people have wishlisted this game on Steam, and that's obviously not including the people who are going to play it through Game Pass through their subscription fee. So, like, this is a game that's getting a bit of traction, and probably, I want to say, at the right time, because we're kind of in a lull right now. We haven't gotten those summer games yet. I feel like the spring games, I don't know. There's not a lot of spring games coming, so
we're kind of washing out on things like Helldivers has had a big splash. I think it's finally starting to slow down. We'll probably get something in a week or two that reignites the fires there, but they're in a bit of a lull, so fine to take that chance. I think people who wanted to play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth are dug in, or they're waiting for a sale. And this is the type of game that you don't see too often, where it is a strategy game, like a combat strategy game, and a town building game. Manor Lords is set like in a medieval countryside type thing, so you get your soldiers and you do all that, but you also like do things as little as building paths around your cities and making sure there's like irrigation and all that stuff, and like making sure that your people are happy. Thing that's so impressive about it, though, is visually it looks pretty astounding, especially for an indie game. They have like lots of motion capture for their individual fighters, like on the battlefield. They have photogrammetry, which is just like the way that you like all of their 3D things are rendered in the very like interesting way that gives them like texture, and so you could zoom in and get a lot of detail, although most of the game you're playing from further back. And I've seen, just this is just from their website, I've like been kind of pitching around because it's very good looking, but their destruction simulation is gorgeous. Like,
ooh, I haven't seen anything about that.
Very, I can't wait to break some stuff in this game.
I take it you're interested in the, are you gonna download it for free on Game Pass?
This is definitely one of those like, oh, I'll check it out. Every now and again, a strategy game comes along. Like when Civ 6 came out, I had played like one night of Civ 5 and just played through the entire night. And like, what happened? Civ 6 did the same thing as soon as it came out. Just like played it for about 12 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And then I tend to like come back and dabble in. But these are just these really unique experiences for me as a gamer. And if it like if it catches that moment for me, I am very excited for this one.
Right on. I'm excited too. Like, honestly, this is the first release that I'm like, I think maybe I'll subscribe to Game Pass for this, just because usually when there's like a big Game Pass game that's coming, I'm kind of like, well, I think I'm going to like this game enough that I'll just buy it outright. But this is a game that I'm like, it's really piqued my curiosity. And I'll tell you, I have been thirsty for an RTS, and I know that this isn't like that's not the entire point of the game. It's not just a real-time strategy. It's also about, like, as you were saying, managing and building, and returning listeners, they know that I'm a big fan of Frostpunk, and so that aspect of being able to build things up and have a like a management or a strategy game that isn't just about let's do the battles. I'm all for that. So very curious. I'm probably going to play it, and we'll see what happens this weekend when it releases. So yeah very cool.
Now, speaking of which, there is another big release coming out this week. I feel like this game has gotten like a lot of weird heat. But Stellar Blade releases on Friday, April 26th.
Weird heat, what do you mean by that?
When I say weird heat, I mean it's like the weird like political side of gaming. But there is a lot of people who are very excited because this is like a very attractive robot lady in a video game who just goes around and kicks butt,
Bayonetta,
sort of like Bayonetta. But from what I hear, the gameplay is a little closer to a Soulsy type game, just with a lot like more acrobatics and things like that. I've heard pretty good things about it, like, and I'm excited to play it. But there is a part of me that's a little like, ew, people are getting the wrong kind of enjoyment out of this.
I see. From all the sexiness, yes.
From all the sexiness, from all the butts, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we know what they're doing. Like, you know, they are trying to appeal to a certain audience. But I will say, as someone who criticizes, you know, media when they lean into those sexy things, like, from everything I've been seeing, the gameplay and the graphics look pretty darn good. And, you know, as long as it's not a shallow game where the gameplay is just, you know, nonsense, where you're just like, we're just trying to get you into these cutscenes with close-ups of butts of sexy ladies doing sexy lady fighting things. And I'm sure that's part of it as well. But if you can put some good gameplay in there, and like I said already, with the graphics and the design, like, looks pretty good. I don't know if there's I think there is a demo that's out right now. So if you want to check it out, check out the Stellar Blade demo. See if it's worth your time.
I think, the real sort of thing is you got to have both. If you're going to do the sexy lady thing, make your game good, you know.
Yeah.
So I can play it and feel decent about myself.
Yeah. Okay? In a sense, it's kind of like what Pal World did, where it's like, we wanted to get America's attention, so we put guns in the game.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there is a game aside from, in fact, when you play Power World, you don't get guns for a long time.
That's true. But to get Japan's attention, they put cute little monsters in there.
Yes, they did.
And to get Europe's attention, they put starving as an element in the game. Sorry.
Wow. I'm going to have to ask you about that one later.
Guessing potato famines.
Yeah. No, I get it. We were in the vein of Manor Lords from the previous one. So there you go. That's what was going on. All right. So let's get into the news this week. A lot of stuff going on. So we're kind of going to do a little bit of a smorgasbord instead of doing our primary main topic. So there's a lot of updates that have been going around. We're going to talk about a lot of those. The first update, which we've brought up in prior episodes, but Destiny 2, the final shape, we finally got a trailer for the final shape. And yes, we got more Cade 6, and he's back. Somehow he's returned. And
I will accept somehow he returned for Cade 6, because it is Nathan Fillion, first of all. And second of all, the story in Destiny is basically held together by shoestrings, bubblegum, and hopes at this point.
Yeah, for real. Basically, the trailer is kind of like, I don't know where I am or where you are, Guardian, but we are in the Traveler, or we are the Traveler. I don't know. And so that's basically the bubblegum and shoestrings. So I'm very curious about this. We both have played a lot of Destiny back in the day. Like, I have not played it recently, to be honest. I just kind of saw it as like a money and time pit, which it is. But I'm kind of chomping at the bit of like, will Bungie make Destiny 3? Or is this kind of like, they want to move on to something else? And is this the last DLC that they're going to do? You know, just because it says final in the title doesn't mean that it's going to be final, but I'd like it to be. So,
well, it's going from shapes to colors. We're going to do the final shape and then first blue.
First then blue?
Second blue, third blue, final blue. And then that kind of just...
Right. Okay. So,
no, I could see Destiny going on for a while after this. Although I feel like it would probably slow down while they work on Marathon over at Bungie, and then maybe heat back up after a couple years of Marathon when they release a Destiny 3 and have time to like really construct something new around Destiny.
Right. I don't know. Have you seen this trailer? Are you at all like, maybe I'll get back into it, something like that?
Part of me wants to play the story. I know that the most recent Destiny update, no one liked our expansion. No one particularly liked that story, but there were some cool gameplay elements.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. I don't know. I do feel like Destiny 2 is kind of an old game now. Does that make sense? Like
it is. Like when I was watching I watched the trailer on YouTube, and one of the cool things about YouTube, especially for you know, gamers like ourselves, is that when you look at a YouTube video now, if you're posting about a particular game, it'll show the game right underneath the YouTube video, and it actually considers Destiny 2 just Destiny, and it was like Destiny. Released in 2014, and I was like, that's 10 years old. And, you know, to be honest, there wasn't like a big jump in quality, I think, between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, other than I will say Destiny 2 did get a much better support than Destiny 1, but Destiny 1 was an earlier idea, so there was not the same expectation of support that we have now in 2024.
Graphically, I think Destiny 2 is better, and like some gameplay stuff, like, okay, yeah.
Sure.
But I think there's something about coming out with another entry in your franchise versus just expansions. And I know Destiny was meant to be just like a 10-year long game, like a 10-year long story arc where they go from this to that. But I guess it is going to be 10 years long by the time they finish Destiny 2, the final shape. But I would like to... I don't know. Maybe something different besides Destiny is, I guess, what I'm saying. Otherwise, I just am not excited by even the idea of the end of this story. I'm like, we had a lot of places it could have ended.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. I've already brought up my feelings about the story. It's just like it didn't make any sense. And yeah, we've already talked about like the developers have come on and been like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know what the stuff is. We don't know what the light and the dark and the, we don't know what the traveler is. We don't know where it comes from. It's like,
we're not even sure what the final shape is. We half of the crew is saying circle. The other half saying triangle. Yeah. We can't figure it out.
So I think, you know, for the grinders out there who just really enjoy the Destiny, you know, gameplay loop, like, I'm not here to crap on your game or anything like that. I think Destiny has really good gameplay. I just think, like, at a certain point, I can't do that grind anymore, especially when they devalue things that I've worked on as the game gets updated continually.
Yeah, you'll have your favorite gun, and then that'll be nerfed. Then you're like, well, I gotta build back. It's like someone just comes over and kicks your sandcastle down, and you're like,
okay.
Unless, if you really love building sandcastles, great. If you were really happy with that sandcastle you had, maybe you're like, I think I'm done at the beach today. I'm gonna go do race cars or whatever the analogy says. But yeah.
All right. So next up on our news list, a update for a game you really like, Phil. Dragon's Dogma 2 is getting a special Dragon's Plague update. You want to talk about this?
Absolutely. So the Dragon's Plague has been consuming the Reddit, at least for the first couple weeks of Dragon Dogma 2 release. Dragon Plague is a thing that can happen to your pawns, which are your sort of other players that play with you. They are player-created NPCs that follow you around. They help you out. But if you fight a dragon, if something goes wrong, or if you encounter another pawn who has Dragon Plague and it hangs out with your pawn for too long, let's say you bring it into your party, it could contract Dragon's Plague. And then your pawn stops responding to you. They kind of act a little bit weird. They say things that don't make sense. And then eventually they turn into a dragon and destroy whatever town you're resting in, killing every NPC there, whether or not they were story relevant. So it can kind of nuke your save. So everyone's really worried about it and like looking for the telltale signs. Now here's the problem. The pawns say things that don't make sense all the time because they are AI controlled. So you'll be wandering around the wilderness and be like, look at that ladder. And you're like, what? So there was like a lot of issues. Apparently one of the things they're fixing is that the pawns' eyes glow red when they're infected with dragon's plague. They're making it more visible. They're making it so that you can like zoom in on them and check them out in the menu screen. So there are some things to fix there. I think this is a good thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is something that if you're going to nuke someone's entire save to where they can't go back because there's no like save file outside of autosaves, make it abundantly clear that this is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the fact that it can nuke your save is crazy to me. So I'm glad that they're kind of improving like the cues and the visual side of it, but like there's no, I think it'd be almost more useful if they added like an autosave or whatever, like a dragon's plague specific autosave of like, hey, we know that one of your pawns has dragon's plague, and so we're gonna autosave this amount of time before they turn or something like that. So I think that would be a little bit more useful than just turning up the brightness on glowy eyes personally, but also I haven't played the game and you have, so I will defer to your judgment.
Listen, an autosave would be great, but they are just refusing to give it to us. I get their concept. They want like your actions to have consequences. They want like if you do something for it to matter, so you can't just like save and go back and do it. That said, it is very inconvenient.
Sure.
So, yeah, happy to see it. Dragon's Dogma 2, keep on updating it. Little fixes will make it a truly great game.
All right. Well, moving right along. So a little bit of Take-Two Interactive news. For those who don't know, Take-Two Interactive, they own the Grand Theft Auto series as well as many other popularized microtransaction-y games like NBA 2K. And so they have joined the rest of the gaming industry in layoffs. So I will say that percentage-wise, they've laid off, I think it was about 5 or 6% of their workforce, which was about, I believe it was 600 people. And so hearts out to everyone who lost their jobs. And to be honest, I'm pretty pissed about this one, just because the amount of money that Take-Two Interactive pulls in and the amount of money they're about to pull in next year, supposedly when Grand Theft Auto releases.
Or is it technically 2026?
Huh?
Was it 2026 or 2025?
I don't know. It could be 2029 for all the, it doesn't, there's
probably
no, whenever, whenever they feel like it,
whenever they want to print money, they can. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, this is a company that really just deals in video games. They're not like Microsoft where they have, a bunch of other businesses that are going on. So it's just really in video games. They make so much money off of all of their live service games that they do. In fact, another kind of mini story involving them this week is there was a lawsuit having to do with tattoos and NBA 2K, particularly. The main one that was focused on was LeBron James because of his obvious status in the NBA and how popular he is. But the tattoo artist of LeBron James was suing Take-Two Interactive for using his, the tattoos that he designed because that's the model. It's LeBron. And so Take-Two Interactive officially has won that lawsuit. And are allowed to use, they're not paying the tattoo artist on that as well. So
that
it's just
sucks.
Like, yeah, they won that lawsuit and they laid people off. So
Cool. They don't even have an excuse like, yeah, we had to pay that tattoo. We had to pay that tattoo artist like $6,000. Of course, we're going to fire people. Oh, God. Yeah. Take-Two does so much to completely insinuate themselves as one of my least favorite developers by not updating Red Dead Online almost at all, not giving us Undead Nightmare 2, not doing much except releasing Grand Theft Auto 5 time and time again, and then making Grand Theft Auto Online huge. I'm very disappointed. I hope that everyone else who worked there, who lost their job, finds work with a better company soon, because a company that's rolling in this much dough has no excuse to fire people. They are just shooting themselves in the foot, ironically, because they are losing workforce that knows what they're doing, knows their company culture, knows how to make their games. They're shuffling those folks off. It's a real
And their reasoning for the layoffs have been that the employees are redundant. And so while they haven't given, that's what they've said. While they haven't like dived into the real issue, it could be like, are these, you know, is this AI stuff that's, you know, being added within the game? And that's why people are redundant. We don't know. So we will continue to talk about it as the story unfolds.
Hey, CEOs, you're redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, pressing right along, a very popular game and one of our games of the year for 2023, Remnant 2, The Forgotten Kingdom DLC. We got a trailer this morning that came out. Phil, I know you had this game very high up on your list for 2023. Are you going to get back into Remnant 2, check out this DLC?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I loved this game. Watching this trailer really got me excited. Within the game, there's like different kind of zones that you venture into. It's like a multiverse in a sense. One of the worlds is almost like Bloodborne-y in its style. And then there are several other worlds. This seems to be leaning into like the weird fae stuff that is a part of the game.
Right.
There was one. There's like one futuristic alien robot world where you're like fighting sci-fi stuff. But there's the lady on the like cover art of Remnant 2 is this long blue elf queen looking lady. And you can play the entire game like 20 times through and never find her. Like a certain set of doors and things have to line up just the right way, because the game is like procedurally, like put together in terms of the levels. So I'm just excited because I love how much of a puzzle box that game is and how well it all fits together and how you need to like almost do the missing no like Pokemon like going up and down Cinnabar Island a bunch of times to find different elements of the game. So if they continue that and just give me some cool new weapons and armor, yeah, I'm back, baby. I'm back. And it's also such a good-looking game. Like, it's one of the first Unreal 5 engine games that I feel like fully took advantage of the engine and just made their game look incredible with a pretty small team, comparatively.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I'm still kind of in awe by the success of this game. You know, when I played the first one, I really wasn't sure that there was going to be another one. But I think there's an audience of, like, we like the Dark Souls format, you know, and we like guns. You know, we'd rather fight with guns than swords.
Americans, you know. that said, I believe that this game is on Game Pass. So if you do end up getting Game Pass and we can do a little bit of exploring in the Remnant lands, let me know. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I think I probably will, honestly, while we are going through this kind of gaming lull. All right, so moving right along, another update. So Starship Trooper Extermination, which has been in early access for quite some time now and completely has been demolished by Helldivers, which is the real Starship Trooper game, but whatever.
They must have been, like, I remember, because I wishlisted this game when I saw it in early access. I was like, Starship Trooper game? I am so in. I love Starship Troopers. I feel like the day that Helldivers 2 like trailer dropped, someone in the office was just writing on a whiteboard and they said, no, guys, get in here. Everybody, look, we're being upstaged. And the hits have just kept on coming. It's tough because this game looks fun, but it does look like a simple first-person shooter.
It does.
And Helldivers nails so much more about this from their, like, you're not just going from mission to mission. Like, you're on your ship. You're seeing commercials from Super Earth. Not only are you getting Starship Troopers, you're also getting Terminator. Yeah, this, I feel bad for these guys. But, hey, yeah. Extermination update. Let's give it all you got, buddy.
Yeah, so just talk a little bit about the update that's coming to the game. So this is, again, this is an early access game. So I believe this is version 0.7. So the game is still not out officially yet, or complete, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so what this update does is it adds a bunch of different classes and more combat roles in the game. So, which is very cool. And you get a bunch of like different armor sets. It honestly kind of looks like the last Warbond that Helldivers released, which is kind of, yeah. So, I guess for the Starship Trooper diehards out there, like, you're going to want this. Like, I know a friend who bought this game in anticipation for Helldivers 2 coming out. And since Helldivers 2 came out, has not gone back to it. Yeah. But if you are a Starship Trooper purist and you need the bugs to look exactly like they did in the movies, then this is the game for you. I have to agree with you, though. It looks like a very simplistic first-person shooter. There's just not really a lot here that I haven't seen other places. And I don't want to say that, but, you know, it's just to be honest. It's like, oh, there's a grenade launcher. That's cool. But, you know, how many games have we incorporated a grenade launcher? Like, how many games have we incorporated, oh, you're a medic, you can put a thing down and heal the people around you, you know?
It looks like Payday 2 in terms of Starship Troopers. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like, especially now that they're adding classes, your kind of simple first-person shooter. That I think if this game also had come out in a world where there was no Helldivers 2, they'd be kind of in a very special place. Because it's a horde mode shooter that deals with something different than zombies or mutants.
Yeah.
But they just, the poor guys at their lunch just got completely eaten by a better game.
Yeah, interesting one. I wonder who the publisher for this game is. I'm just, you know, I think it just didn't come out fast enough, honestly. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, it's just, you can't be in early access forever. Like, or if you release an early access too early, and, you know, you're waiting on these updates, you know, update after update, you have to have a strong release, because everybody's vying for attention. Everybody's, you know, competing for that gaming marketplace. So
the developer is a team called Squad. Sorry, no, Offworld. And they've made a game called Squad and Squad 44 and Beyond the Wire, sort of like all different war first-person shooter type games. So definitely in their field, but yeah.
All right. Well, pressing right along. So for last week, our episode 29 was called Fallout Resurgence. And we talked a lot about, and what I talked about at the beginning of the episode, of just how much the Fallout TV show has kind of just shot a stim pack right into everybody's thigh and gotten everybody excited for Fallout again and Bethesda games in general.
I was going to say Fallout reemerged from the vault, but
that's much better than what I said.
No.
But yeah, so one of the best things about Bethesda games in general is the modding communities that develop around a bunch of Bethesda games, like, you know, Skyrim and Oblivion and obviously the Fallout games, New Vegas. You know, we talked about with our guest, Austin Merritt, who works at Obsidian, about how he when he was in grad school, he worked on specifically Fallout New Vegas mods. And so there's a lot of independent mod sites that are being overwhelmed by the amount of people who are downloading Fallout and being like, this game doesn't seem done. I need mods for it. And so there, I believe there's the Fallout was one of the best selling games in Europe this week.
Wowzer.
Yeah. So that's or I should say franchise. One of the best selling franchises.
They got the Bezos bump. They got
they got that Bezos bump. But yeah, and I like as I said at the beginning of this episode, I played Fallout 4. I booted up Skyrim. I booted up Starfield. You know, I got back in that Bethesda kick. And, you know, for me nowadays, I primarily use the Steam Workshop when I'm messing around with mods. Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those people who, you know, went and for a couple of like old school favorites for myself, I'll still do that. But yeah, when's the last time you installed a mod on one of your games, Phil?
I think it was actually Fallout 4. Specifically. Okay. And it was on console because they had like their workshop available on there. Mm-hmm. It was like the Bethesda store, right. Workshop, whatever.
Right.
And it was definitely a little goofy for Fallout 4. Like, I think that's when they were experimenting with people getting paid for their mods. Mm. And then like that, I'm not sure if that blew up in their face. I believe it did. But yeah, I definitely Skyrim, I modded the heck out of just to like, you know, get some graphics tuning here and there. And what's amazing to me is like when a company embraces like Steam's Workshop or when Bethesda kind of embraced it for Skyrim, how well it can work. But I've even done like, you know, modding old school back in the day for New Vegas and like downloading files and putting them in the right folders and everything. So right. I'm glad to see that it's alive and well. I am bummed that like it has to be that way because Bethesda doesn't, they get bored, they don't finish their stuff. That's right. Fine.
Yeah, it's true. Still waiting on that mod update for Starfield, by the way. So. All right,
what's some of your favorite mods to use like in a Bethesda game?
I mean, yeah, Skyrim is the big one for me, and that's what I was trying to do this week. So, like, I remember back in the day, I had a bunch of, like, Lord of the Rings mods for it. So I had all the Lord of the Rings weapons. I had, like, you know, like Frodo's sword Sting.
Sting,
yeah. Yeah, which was really cool, and it would, like, glow and everything. You know, like Gandalf's sword, Aragorn's sword. And so, yeah, I did a lot of that, and then... Honestly, because I've been waiting for, you know, the next Elder Scrolls for so long, like a lot of the mods that I would do on it would be graphic mods. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a bit of a problem with that this week. So I found out because I bought Skyrim physically back in the day on a DVD.
11/11/11, right? That was the release date.
Yes, it was. And so I have the original version of Skyrim, and I found out that, you know, when in trying to use Steam Workshop this week, that game is unlisted now. And so a lot of the mod support is kind of finicky with it in the workshop, because I didn't buy the Skyrim Anniversary Redone Super Edition. Which that's... is now running for $40, which is ridiculous.
Holy smokes. That game came out 13 years ago.
Yes, it did. And, like, I get that you've updated it, but, you know, $40 is ridiculous for a game that old.
Not okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a lot of Skyrim mods. I really haven't done much with Fallout because, you know, it's just not... as appealing to me, which is purely just a taste thing, doesn't have anything to do with you know, the quality of game. It's just I like that fantasy environment just a little bit more than the post-apocalyptic grunge, I should say. So what about you? What's the most modded game you've ever played?
I think almost definitely Skyrim. And for me it was like, you know, different housing that you could get. Like graphical stuff for sure. Like I think I added in God Rays before the Game of the Year edition came out, or one of the many legendary editions that had like volumetric lighting and all this stuff. And then I probably stuff to do with like your inventory. And I believe I modded Fallout to like change the building stuff a little bit. To make it easier to break things down, because that game can really, like, while it's fun and immersive, it can really slow you down in terms of finding materials.
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah, and that's a Bethesda thing in general, is just the inventory management drives me crazy. And it's not even just the systems that they have in place with all the inventory management, it's just the amount of things. And, like, there's a certain amount of, like, respect that comes with, like, oh, this is a cup in a tavern and I can pick this up and put it in my pocket. And yeah, a lot of games won't let you do that. And that's very, it's like the sandwich thing when they were trying to do Starfield publicity, where it's like, I'm going to steal people's sandwiches. I'm going to be a sandwich. It's like, that's quirky and interesting, I guess. Would I ever do that? No. It's just another freaking thing in my inventory that I have to sort through and figure out where I'm going to put it.
Piece. This is going to suck.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely, like, just part of the... Have you ever played Skyrim in VR?
No, so, I have not. Or maybe I have, actually. Or I think I've watched one of my friends play it in VR, which is weird, but yeah.
It's definitely a pretty worthwhile endeavor if you have a VR headset capable of it. I played it for a show a while ago, and being just, like, being able to look around inside some of the interiors, or, like, that first mission where you have to go up the snowy mountain and, like, you're just looking at the archways they built, it breathed new life into it for me, that I was very impressed. And I guess, actually, there is Fallout 4 VR. It's just, it can be such a pain in the butt to get a VR headset and then to have to buy a separate version of the game. Bethesda.
Sure. Yes. But, you know, there's something to be said for Bethesda games because we keep talking about them. And everybody in Europe is playing Fallout right now. So,
yeah.
All right.
I think the show.
You think the show?
I think the show.
Absolutely. There has been a release for one of my favorite games ever, Valheim. Ashlands has had a trailer that has recently come out. We posted about it on our TikTok and YouTube yesterday, and unfortunately the update isn't quite out yet, which is something that Coffee Stain has been, or Iron Gate, I should say, has been doing, where they're like, hey, it's out right now for public testing. But you gotta go in and you gotta switch it, because we're still testing. We're still aware of that. From what I've seen so far, they're aware of some, fast travel issues that they've been having with the update, as well as some boat issues. And those are big issues because, you know, in order to get to the Ashlands in the Valheim, biome there, it's very far away. So, I'm very excited for this update. It's all end game content. It looks like there's raids. You can attack, like, castles. There's a bunch of new enemies, new weapons, new armor. And so I'm personally very excited about it. I am a little bit discouraged with how much I love this game and just how slow the updates have been. Just because it's a survival game. It's like Minecraft. It just takes a long time to get to the point where you can even experience the end game content. And so if you don't already have a save, and you know what, usually what they do every time that there's an update, they're like, well, start a new game so the world can be built in this updated version. And it's just like, that's a lot to ask, because you have to spend a lot of time getting to that end game.
I definitely enjoyed my time with it. I'm going to come back to Valheim probably once this update's out. This might be a good enough thing for me to get a couple friends. Like, all right, let's go start a new game and build. But it definitely is a time investment to get up to even through what they've had prepared pre this update. There is a lot of stuff in that game. Valheim is such an interesting thing, because I think it's a very competent game, but the sort of overlay of graphics are reminiscent of a time that I kind of wonder if a lot of gamers, like, I feel like our generation, this was like when we were 12 and 13 playing games, is what they're hearkening back to with the look of their games.
Sure.
Like PS1, PS2 era. And I just hope that they don't kind of update the charm out of that. Because I was looking at some of the armor designs, like, oh, these look cool, but they look a little complex for what I'm used to in this game. So,
sure. But, I mean, yeah, it's an update. You got to come out with new armor sets and stuff. So, but, yeah, it's like the last update was the Mistlands update. And I'll be honest, the Mistlands was a pain in the butt. Really? So while I enjoyed all the new content they added, I was just like, oh my God, this is stressful. So, and then this update looks even more stressful. So, I'm very excited for it when it officially releases. I'm a little bit tentative to, play the public test just because I don't want to mess up any of my saves, for worlds that I really, care about immensely. But excited nonetheless, happy there's an update, and I know this is a very popular survival game for a lot of people out there. So,
yeah.
Right on, right on.
Great game. It's a vibe. Speaking of another game that is a vibe,
mm-hmm.
and kind of now a sad one, Little Big Planet 3, its servers have been taken down. Is this just all of the servers, or is this just more of their servers are coming down?
So I don't believe that as of this moment, all of their servers are down, but they have announced a plan to take down all of the servers as well as, you know, everybody's creations in Little Big Planet 3, which is really the bigger blow here because I don't think there's a lot of people playing Little Big Planet 3 online right now. But it's all of those games and those wacky things that people designed, in Little Big Planet. And you know, for younger gamers out there, Little Big Planet was really the game that kind of put into the mainstream this idea of like, I'm gonna throw in a game maker and I'm gonna give you some of the tools, and it's streamlined to a point, it's still complicated, but it's streamlined to a point that someone who didn't get a degree in game development can figure out, okay, how do I like make something here? And you know, they have you know, their other game Dreams, which is their primary creation system now. And I would love if they could figure out a way to take the Little Big Planet creations and just dump them over into Dreams, because this is a game I grew up on. I love this game, and you know, its most recent successor has been, you know, Sackboy's Big Adventure, which is a good game, but it's not the same as it was.
Yeah, I mean, they also came up with Dreams, and I feel like that was sort of their next step after Little Big Planet, making a game design video game. That right. was the main intention of. There wasn't like a story for you to play through.
I mean, there was a story in Dreams to play through.
Was there a story in Dreams to play through?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have to. You didn't have to do if you didn't want to. But they made a campaign just to show you like what's possible in this game for you to make. So yeah.
I feel like that is the danger though with these types of games. I think the only one that's going to be safe from this, and it's kind of weird to say, is Super Mario Maker or Mario Maker.
Sure.
Just because I feel like Nintendo is like, no, we keep everything to do with Mario safe in this vault. and I feel like all the levels are going to be kind of in there for a long time. But I think this just kind of speaks to modern business and gaming is like, oh, the server space is taking too much. I think that this is also scary, like in terms of things to come, not necessarily just for games that we make within other games, but when the servers shut down for a certain game on Steam,
right,
it will just disappear. And I guess there's not really that many ways for you to like back up and save your stuff unless you have like the physical console. And even then, I think most of the level creations are saved like in the cloud. So
yeah,
it is a bummer to see that many hours of creativity just disappearing.
Yeah, like I said, I really wish they would just bump them over to the Dreams servers. I don't know if that's possible. Yeah. It's probably too much of a financial commitment to do that. But yeah, definitely a bummer. I also would like to see Little Big Planet have a comeback. I think that, you know, something I wanted to talk about with this is like, I want to see Sony bring back some of their more cartoony you know, franchises. Yeah. And a little bit, you know, like Sackboy's Big Adventure was a good game, but it was more like of a launch game for the PS5, I felt like. And I'd also like to see, speaking of launch games, I'd like to see an Astro game. It's like, yeah, we got that Astro game that shipped with every PS5, and it was actually more, I thought it was just going to be like a 20-minute thing, and it actually turned into like a, you know, a 4-hour game that you can go through, and maybe even longer than that, like go through and play. And so I'd like to see that. I feel like the only cartoony characters we get on PlayStation are just Ratchet and Clank, and even then, it's been a while since we've gotten a Ratchet and Clank. I'd like to see Sackboy come back or something in the vein. I would like to see Media Molecule come out with something. That's what I would like to see. Which is of course the company who made Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what they're doing, because I feel like they have been quiet since Dreams, and of course, I guess Sackboy's Big Adventure. Was that them or was that another company?
I mean, it could have been another company, but I will say it, like, it looked Little Big Planet-y, and it also looked like it was made in the engine and the system that they designed. It felt very familiar to me. So if it was not made by Media Molecule straight up, its assets were originally from Media Molecule.
Pretty strong. So, I feel like, and I'll have to do research. So actually, if you are listening to this and you know 100%, let me know. But I feel like it was sort of a Halo 343 situation.
Oh, okay.
Where like another company was kind of formed out of Media Molecule. It was like, all right, hey, make us a Sackboy game.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, they had Tearaway way back in the day. I believe it was PlayStation 4 and then the one for the PSP. So they have this like vibe and intention to make all of these different types of games and to make a game where you can literally make anything. And maybe if that is their desire, but I think they could use something over at PlayStation akin to Ori and the Will of the Wisps or Ori and the Blind Forest. Something that is like more or less for kids, but still like can be fulfilling and gratifying and beautiful. Just, I think the PlayStation isn't too much of an inviting place for kids in a first person sense, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think like that kind of stuff, I feel like Sony and other companies have been kind of, aside from Nintendo, of course, have been kind of like, oh, you want something cutesy? Well, look at all the indie games. You know, we're going to leave that stuff to the indie developers. We're going to make the big blockbuster games. So, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Ratchet and Clank, blockbuster game.
True.
You know, they did that.
Listen, so, if we get Naughty Dog to make Jak and Daxter...
I don't know. I'm still very curious. It's because like they got more mature with the games that they made, from Crash to Jak and Daxter to Uncharted to Last of Us. It's like Last of Us is as mature as it gets. Like I hopefully they pull back a little bit, but we'll see.
The next game is just about a divorce and then chemotherapy. And you play through both of those
things. It's just a downer. Oh my goodness. So all right, well that pretty much wraps it up for our little variety of update tapas that we have for you today. But yeah, any last little thoughts on anything we talked about, Phil, before we go?
No, just a passing thought. I did download Harold Halibut. I gave it a shot. Not a game for me personally. is definitely like it. I feel like it. If you're into it, let me think of the right way to put it. It seems like Steve Zissou, by way of Wallace and Gromit. Also with not as much of the charm in either one of those. So.
Wow. Yeah. Stop motion, I feel like, needs charm to work.
There's some moments where you like get into an elevator and it's like, it sends you from one place to another, but it fills up with this green liquid and it's just like, there's something visceral, like, oh, cool. That's weird and gross and scratches a particular part of my brain. But otherwise I just feel like, that game would be really cool with some very like interactive motion and movement, like And I understand it would take a lot to do, but give me something like Prince of Persia way back in the day. You know, it had that very advanced animation for its time. If you do that with sort of stop motion, oh man, I'm so in. Although I realize that would take millions of hours. So,
right on. Yeah, I've seen similar things online to what you've been saying. Just that it's, you know, it looks really good. The other elements of the game, though, are lacking. So, but definitely a strong artistic choice. You know, very, very cool. So, you know, hearts out to them. Hopefully you guys keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hire some better voice actors.
Hey, got it.
Anyway, that's my two cents. Yeah. What? Did you have one more thought?
I'm just saying you should hire Paul.
Yeah, we can just hire the both of us. It's fine.
Just hire us to do every character.
We'll just banter.
The game will be wildly off topic for most of it. Just
yes,
exactly. Us chatting about all sorts of stuff.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 30 of the GGG podcast. Thank you for listening. And if you haven't already, please like and subscribe over on our YouTube channel if you're watching the video version, or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you're listening to our audio version. Peace out, everybody. And hopefully you have a good week. And check out Manor Lords, maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
We'll see you in the manor, my lord.
Yes, we'll see you there.